Hello and welcome to the South Coast Football Hole League Super Saturday debrief. Look, we're looking out the window right now and it's very unlikely that we'll get some football in this weekend in the Illawarra Premier League. However, there will be football getting in the Illawarra District League with Super Saturday version 2 going ahead at E. McLaren Park with all District League sides to play throughout the day. And I welcome to me to discuss everything Tim Gibson from Football South Coast. How are you, sir?
Good to be back on, Jared. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm all right. Find it hard to speak with the liners, but we'll get used to it. Brought to you, of course, by the Fraternity Club, this podcast, and every season my season, so be sure to check them out. The Frat in particular will be hosting live football, non-stop, A-League, NPL, you name it. They've got it down there in Fairy Meadow, although looking out the window at the moment, the roads are closed and it might be a bit tricky to get out there. Maybe head down to the Frat, get a bit dry. But the talking points from over the weekend, Tim, was a very interesting round, I think, considering we've been starved of it for the last 2 months. Some interesting results there.
For sure. I think it was a great spectacle at the weekend. You could see there was a bit of rustiness from the teams, but overall I thought it was a great spectacle. Some real standout results, I think, looking at Winoona picking up the win. That was a huge result. Bulleye also beating Wollongong Olympic. That was one that perhaps we didn't expect to see. And yeah, but looking forward again to this weekend, seeing all the District League teams in action. I think the only team that's played even on somewhat of a consistent basis in the District League is University. They've played a couple of games.
And that's about it. A couple of FFA Australia Cup games, sorry, and they played one District League game, I think, a few weeks ago. And if you look at photos from the weekend, I'm pretty sure every game had photos. There was an estimated 2,000 people through the gate on the weekend. And I tell you what, it looked very healthy in the stands there. The stands were always full.
Yeah, it didn't rain either, really, I don't think, during the games. No. So that was good. That was good. Unlike last night, where it was absolutely torrential for Bulleye's Australia Cup game.
Yeah, like a shower, you said.
It was, the water pressure was good. It was good.
Outstanding. But Super Saturday as a whole, the concept, it's pretty much been deemed a success. What was your thoughts on it?
Well, we've spoken about needing to get the best use out of Ian McLennan Park, and I think that was it. It was really well organised. Credit to South Coast United. They had volunteers there all day helping out to keep it running smoothly, which was great to see. And it was fantastic to see teams working really well with each other. You know, obviously there's only one set of changing rooms. You know, teams had to warm up on the sideline for the game before they could head out onto the field. And it was good to see teams generally respecting that and making sure that they were just warming up on the side, which was good. So yeah, I think it's a really good concept and it was fantastic to see all the teams in action and get a full round in round six.
And I think it's going to be put on hold again for this weekend. But yeah, it's great to see everyone cooperating there. Obviously, when you miss out on football, the amount we have the last couple of months really puts things into perspective as to why we do what we do on the pitch and off the pitch. It's all for the round ball game in the end. So, great to see the weekend was a success. But your thoughts on the District League Super Saturday this weekend? Obviously, there's only been one actual comp game played throughout the year.
There's been two now, and they were both University. Mm-hmm. University Balgownie and then University Berkeley.
That was it, yeah.
I did actually watch the University game against Berkeley, and that was actually played at a really high intensity. It was great to see. You know, you might think teams would be sluggish, but clearly both teams keen to get out on the field. And it was a great game. Finished 2-1 to University. Ryan Sinclair scored a wonderful goal, a real dipping volley into the far corner from outside the box, which was a nice goal to see. So, yeah, I think the District League, it'll be interesting to see all these teams in action for the first time.
And we'll go through the Super Saturday version 2 quickly because obviously, as I speak, the rain's getting heavier outside my window, so the Premier League's very unlikely this weekend. So, first game at 10 a.m. is Uni against The Rule, all at Ian McLennan Park, by the way. 12:05, we've got Helensburgh against Fernhill, which is going to be a very interesting game. At 2:10, we've got Kiama against Oak Flats. At 4:15, we've got Berkeley and Balgownie. 6:20, we've got Yundara Hearts up against Picton Rangers. And 8:25, to round it off, we've got Warilla and Shell Cove. So be sure to get out to the game. Same prices as last week as well. Nothing changed there. But Tim, you brought up a point with me a couple of days ago about players wanting to play again. And the question raised to you was, why don't we just play matches on the fields? They will be torn to shreds, but players just want to play. Now, I've got a few thoughts on the point brought up, but what would be your response to that point to start with? What would you think about that?
Well, of course, I think the main priority is the safety of the players. You know, I think that's got to be paramount here. And you've got to ask yourself, you know, what risk is it to their safety to go and play on a pitch that will be either really muddy, or when the grounds dry up, it's going to be hard as, you know, a really, really hard field to play on. I remember when I was playing in the Sutherland Shire Association, pretty much every single game, it was either mud or it was just rock hard because the mud had dried. So, yeah, I think generally, if, you know, people might be used to playing on that sort of a surface, but I think you look at clubs that will obviously spend a lot of money on maintaining their ground, and they don't really want to be sitting there seeing it torn to shreds for a few weeks, and then basically it's ruined for the rest of the season. So I think that's certainly one of the considerations. But, you know, if this rain does stop, there's no reason why we can't get the games onto these grass fields once they're ready to play. But the problem is, if the rain continues, it becomes increasingly difficult to schedule all of these games onto just one field with all the competing interests for that one field.
Mm-hmm. And when you brought this up with me, I put down a couple of points as to why I don't think it will work. So number one, it will tear the fields up. We got to think about it, towards the end of the year, worst quality fields probably equals lower quality of games. So that might hamper the competition throughout the end of the year. Unstable grounds, as a result of tearing them up, will lead to more chance of injuries. You think about it, little potholes in the ground, especially after a long rain break. It's so easy to, we've had people who haven't been playing much, and the joints might not be ready, the legs might not be ready, the ankles might not be ready, you name it. And one little roll in a pothole, and then that's your season probably done. And quality of football will, on the pitches in this current state, if we played on like today, quality of football would probably be like water polo at the moment. I can guarantee some grounds will be underwater as we speak. But even the grounds that aren't underwater, the quality of football on these grass pitches will be very low, and it'll be almost not worth playing. Clubs, you did touch on that, clubs put a lot of effort into their grounds, and destroying that will destroy a lot of good work put in throughout the summer, the pre-season as well. And the last one, which I think puts it into a little bit of perspective, yes, we're not happy we can't play now, but I tell you what, we'll be even less happier when it gets to the end of the year. The rain stops, because there will become a time when the rain stops. We'll be even less happier when all the grounds pour. You got to think about it. There's grounds like Balls Paddock, JJ Kelly, Macedonia Park at its best. When those grounds are at their best, they're a joy to play on. And if we rush it too quickly, they're going to be destroyed. We're going to lose the spectacle of playing on grounds like that. But we touched on it last week as well, the reserve and youth grade dilemma with the Premier League. It is round 7, and they haven't gotten in a full round like the first grade. The first grade's a completely different story. Catching up just first grade once the rain stops will be a whole lot easier than catching up first grade, youth grade, and reserve grade. We touched on that last week. It's round 7 this weekend. Almost certain the games won't be played. This next month will be telling for the two lower grades. And I hate to say it because I'm playing it, but what are the options? Does comp get halved again?
Well, I mean, there's one youth grade game, Premier League youth grade game on tonight, up at Eden Lithenham Park, of course.
Excellent.
So I think that's the Olympic against Winoona game. So obviously they played the second grade and the first grade a couple of weekends ago at McLennan Park, and the youth grade has been pushed now to tonight. So yeah, it's tricky to get these games done. And I think the scheduling is going to be really tricky. Ian McLennan Park is difficult really because you've got teams that train on it on a weekday, quite late. You can only fit in one game. So there's all these considerations for it. But it's kind of what I said last week, really, that you know, we need to try and get keep a consistent flow of games being played.
At the moment, that's almost virtually impossible.
Yeah. But, you know, every game here and there is one that we don't have to play towards the end of the season, I think. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, I think it's still plausible that we can get this season completed. But it's a developing situation because the longer the weather goes on, the trickier that gets.
Yeah, exactly right. We will, however, get into Super Saturday, the debrief. And out of the six games played, we'll just go over the results quickly. So we opened up the day with a 1-1 draw, Port Kembla against Corrimal. Winoona with the upset of the round, 2-1 over Coniston. Although Winoona, they know how to surprise everyone and prove the doubters wrong. So is it a surprise? Who knows? Bulambi lost 3-0 to Conjilla. Wollongong United dominant 4-0 over South Coast United. Bulleye with the 1-0 win over Olympic. And Tarawana going down at the death, 2-1 to Albion Park. A 93rd minute winner from Ethan Kambisios. Now, Tim, we'll get into that game later. But someone on this pod last week tipped an Albion Park stoppage time winner.
They did, yes. I said a draw, didn't I?
I think you did.
I'm pretty sure you I said a draw, and I think there was too much stoppage time played in that game, in my opinion.
No, yeah. 93rd minute, this point, and that's enough stoppage time, surely. That's all right.
Absolutely, but, death. I nearly got it right. I got it right if we just played, you know, 90 minutes, so.
Mm. Oh, look, those games always go down to the wire. I think the last two or three have been decided in stoppage time. But we'll get into the first game of the round. Port Kembla 1-1 over Corrimal. Bit slow to start the first game, but the second half started to pick up a bit from Port Kembla's point of view in particular. Your thoughts on the game?
Well, I got there quite late on in the game. I saw the penalty for Port Kembla in the 70th minute, Jordan Nikolovsky scoring there. So, you know, from what I heard, Corrimal gave a good account of themselves for, you know, a decent majority of the game. So I think that's, you know, we weren't too sure how they were going to go this year, but I think that's a pretty positive sign considering Port Kembla's form this year. They've started pretty strongly. So I think that's good for Corrimal. And yeah, Port remain unbeaten in the division as well. So it was an interesting result to see Corrimal in action for the first time, and I think they've done well considering that they just haven't been playing much football, certainly competitive football. So I think this is a good result for them.
Yeah, there was a very interesting article that came out after this game. Jordan Nikolovsky, obviously, first half performance, God, it's hard to speak, first half performance wasn't up to scratch, and he copped a bit of a spray at half time, and somehow it made the mercury. So public humiliation on a high level there. But look, 1-1, Port Kembla, still very young side, this one. You look at the team sheet, still a very young side. Corrimal, you were going into the game, we weren't too sure what to expect for them, but penalty to Mecco Tripodi in the first half gave them the lead. Two penalties for this one, so there wasn't any actual open play goals here, but very interesting 1-1 draw right there. But we'll get into the next game, which was the one that really turned Super Saturday on its head. Winoona 2, Coniston 1. Look, there was a few shock results. No one picked, but was this your result of the round?
I think so. Yes, you know what I'm going to say? So, yes, I think it was a fantastic result for the Sharks, no doubt. A couple of first half goals got the job done for them. They also had another one in the first half that was ruled out for offside. So they created a number of promising opportunities in the match, Winoona. Looking at Coniston, though, I never really felt that they got into the game. They were missing their coach, Rob Janowski, as well as the goalkeeper, Caden Harrison, wasn't playing. So they're a couple of huge outs for Coniston in consideration of that. In saying that, though, Harrison Matthias, who was the goalkeeper for Coniston in this game, produced a number of top-quality saves, including an unbelievable reaction save in the first half where he was able just to edge the ball onto the crossbar. That was a fantastic save. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Coniston, they were missing a couple of big names, which I don't think helped, but generally they never really sort of put their foot on the gas and really took the game to Winoona.
See, that's been Connor's problem the last couple of months in the games that they have played, trials and such. I'm thinking about the Bulleye one. It took them a while to get going there. He'll make a mention if I don't mention his name. But Harrison Mattias on his debut, I must say though, if you saw him at training at Fig Tree Aces the night before, you knew he was in for a blinder. Nothing was getting past that bloke. So he probably mentioned if I didn't mention his name. He's been wanting to get the mention on for a while. But look, it is tough living in your brother's shadow. So good on him for getting in the limelight. He'll hate me for that. But yeah, Tim. Overall, how do you think the keeper's performance was?
Harrison Mattias.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he had a pretty good game overall. Produced a number of important saves, as the one I mentioned that was of particular note. So, yeah, I think he stepped in and he made a number of crucial saves to keep Coniston in the game because at times, at the back, they weren't quite at full strength and you could see that. You know, Winuno getting forward quite a few occasions. Robbie Gaudiosi did score a goal, but, he was dangerous throughout as well. However, I would like to make a point on Winuno's goalkeeper, Brandon Groom. In the games that I have watched him, he's been very good. And he's at a high level of mainly shot-stopping, and he's keeping Winuno in these games. Against Olympic, they only lost 1-0, but it could have been so much more. This game here, he made a number of crucial saves again to keep them in the match. And we saw how important Joya Fernandez was for the Sharks when he was there. And I think at the moment, Brandon Groom's shot stopping has been at a really high level and he's keeping Winuno in the game. And that it was crucial in them getting that result against Coniston.
Yeah, no, outstanding work from the Sharkies there. Well done to them. They are. No one knew what to expect for them from the preseason, but it's great to see them doing well again. Did you get a chance to have a look at, and I'm going to ask this every week about Winuno, did you get a chance to have a look at Mr. Cricket?
Yes, I identified Mr. Cricket as I was watching the game. I thought, oh, that's him. I think he had a couple of close opportunities. Can't remember anything too specific that he did, but he was on the field.
Now, I've heard he's quite a handy player. So, Michael Hussey, well done out there. If you don't know what I'm understanding, go and watch our season preview again. But the next game was a big win from Conjilla, 3-0, 3-0 at half time. And then there was a goalless second half here. But yeah, great result from Conjilla, Tim.
Yeah, they were blistering the first half, Conjilla, 3-0 up. Ben Zuko, Anthony Krasetsky, Michael Mendez got the goals for the Lions there, and you could really see them kind of take their foot off the gas in the second half because they were in control of the game. Belambi, though, in the second half, they had a couple of close moments, where they came, a couple of shots that nearly went in, but beyond that, there wasn't an awful lot overall on offer from Belambi.
Yeah, it's hard to get a gauge on most of these sides because it is their first game of the year. Outside South Coast United, they've played 4 games now. But is it worrying for Belambi or is it just, first game in a month or two, nothing too much to worry about just yet?
Well, they just haven't played, have they? So that's a major concern for them. I think they can take positives from the second half performance in the first half. It didn't look great for them and you sort of thought the score might blow out a little bit more than it did. But in the second half, people like Brett Wilson getting involved in the attack. So I think they can take a few positives. But yeah, overall, it wasn't great from Belambi. But the facts are that they haven't played at all this season, which is a massive thing. And we've seen a lot of rustiness from teams, especially on this Super Saturday. So that's got to be a consideration in the assessment of Belambi, I think.
What are some key points to take out of this game from Cringilla's point of view?
Well, I think in attack that they were fantastic, especially in that first half. They really came out with the goal of putting in a few goals and they played really good football. It's great to see their attacking players get on the score sheet as well for them, which will be important. We mentioned last week, this was a game where we wanted to see Cringilla produce a bit of a statement. And say to the league, look, this is where we're going to be this year. And I think that they have done that. They kept a clean sheet as well, which was great. There were a couple of games last year where they really conceded a number of goals, but here they've managed to keep a clean sheet, which I think is important for them. and the three goals is great as well. So this for me, it really gave that statement that we were looking for from the Lions.
And is it true that Ben Zuko scored from a corner?
I didn't actually see the goal, but yes, I believe that that did happen. It said it in the match report. So yes, I think he did do that.
Outstanding effort from Benny Zuko there in the, it was the first half. That was the first goal, wasn't it? The corner goal.
So yeah, three first half goal.
Great work. And was it Krzyzewski and Mendes getting on the score sheet to round out the half?
Yes. And you know, both of them, it was some of the skills and stuff that they were pulling off. It was a bit ridiculous at times, just going past players so easily, first and second half, and they probably could have had a couple more goals each with the chances that Cronulla were creating.
And we'll get on to the fourth game of the round. And four seems to be the number of this game because Wollongong United defeated South Coast United 4-0 in the fourth game of the round. South Coast United have now played four games and they've conceded four goals in every game. That seems to be the number of this round, unfortunately. But I said earlier, we can't really read into things too much for most teams because it's their first game. But four goals every game for South Coast United. They've played four rounds now. They've got three games in hand over most. And goal difference isn't looking too good for them at the moment.
No, and this was a difficult watch for South Coast United, I think. Wollongong United were a little bit rusty. A couple of positive moments for South Coast, getting the ball over the top, a couple of chances for them. But generally, even though Wollongong United weren't at their best there, I think they were comfortably better than South Coast for the majority of the game. And that's going to be a concern. You do start to wonder where the points are going to come from for South Coast United. In fairness, they haven't faced any of the teams likely to be around them. I mean, they faced Wollongong United and Wollongong Olympic, we know, of course, are going to be clear of them. Those sides are probably the two sides that will be up there challenging for the title at the end of the year. They've also played Port and Tarra, who've started impressively as well. So I think games like Bulambi coming up will be very important for South Coast United just to get a win. If they fail to win that game, then I think that you've got to start to wonder where are they going to start picking up these wins to make sure they don't finish bottom.
Well, Winona is basically giving us a big indication after their first two games that they definitely will not be near the bottom. So that's another team potentially to get, if you're looking at Winona to get points, you have to put in a massive performance, put it that way. But they're looking like a team who's going to be very competitive this year after the first two games. So is it just between Bulambi and South Coast at this stage down the bottom, do you think?
I think so. Yes. I'm trying to think who else. I think Tarra have got enough to steer clear of that. They picked up a good result against South Coast United. They should be right. Port Kembla have looked good in a few games. It was close against South Coast. It probably, on reflection, may have been a draw there, a late penalty for Port Kembla. But I think those two teams seem to be the ones that may be fighting it out at the bottom. But we've seen South Coast United go on ridiculous winning runs towards the end of the season and pick up form. So you never know. And Bulambi, if they can sort it out defensively and show that solidity that we saw last season, they could be right as well. But I think generally those two are the ones towards the bottom that we may see. Yeah.
Obviously, Cronulla's been around the bottom the last couple of years, but they've improved dramatically. So it's another relegation battle out of the relegation zone, you'd think. But from Wollongong United's point of view, you said they were a bit rusty, but look, four goals to the good playing rusty. It's not a bad start at all.
Well, it was inspired by Mason Versey. He was simply incredible from the first minute he looked on it. He looked intent on putting in a really strong performance. It wasn't just the two goals that he scored, which were both spectacular. He hit the woodwork at least twice as well in the game. So Mason Versey was really, he had a fantastic game. Klimas Sekakuski also scored a goal, and there was an own goal in there as well following a corner. So yeah, I mean, while they weren't at their absolute best, they certainly did enough to go and beat South Coast United, I think.
I must say, there was a lot of own goals compared to usual over the weekend. I'll come think of it. There was one in there. There was Tara Regan-Williams scored an own goal. Was there anyone else? I have a feeling there was. And not only that,
penalties
a
as
lot
well,
of penalties actually. As well. Yeah. I've got to think about
it. No red cards. Not a single red card, I don't.
But you've got to think about it. How many goals were scored over the weekend? 2, 5, 8, 12, 13, 16 goals over the weekend. Out of the 16 goals over the weekend, there was 1, 2, 3, 4. There was at least 4 goals that were either penalties or own goals. So quarter of the round's goals coming from those, which is unusual. So, that's a... thought that'd be an interesting point, but anyway, next game, which was one that really was tipped as the match of the round, and the result delivered in spades. Bulleye 1, Olympic 0. A penalty from Ben McDonald, and I tell you what, Ben McDonald could have had another one towards the end, another penalty for Bulleye, but I'm pretty sure it hit the bar. So it was my tip for game of the round. I thought Bulleye were going to be better than the... than what we tipped them in preseason. They defied my expectations in the Coniston game, but I tell you what, they've taken it to another level here. Two huge results against two sides tipped to be up in the top. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it was a real standout result considering the run that Wollongong Olympic were on and the fact that Bulleye hadn't played since the round three game against Coniston. Generally, I felt the match itself wasn't very engaging. Neither team particularly played great football. But Bulleye picked up the points. Ben McDonald, he scored a penalty in the first half. And as you mentioned, in the second half, he could have scored another penalty, but he rattled the crossbar. So it could have been 2-0 Bulleye. But just the 1-0 there with Ben McDonald getting that penalty. So I think that, you know, while Wollongong Olympic, they weren't in full flight, they did miss some really gilt-edged chances, and I think that's what cost them. There was one particularly for Tori Musumeci, who came back into the side. He got in at the back post, and I was really surprised that he kind of missed there, and that was a huge chance for them. And there were a few of those throughout the game, but yeah, they weren't quite at full speed, I don't think, Wollongong Olympic, in terms of how we've seen them play in games. So yeah, on the other hand, with Bulleye though, now they've taken 4 points off Coniston and Wollongong Olympic combined, which you've mentioned. I think, you know, that kind of shows where their level of performance can be this season. And they could definitely be up there at the end of the year based on the early results that we're seeing.
Now, the most telling stat out to come out of this game, this was Olympic's first IPL defeat since 2020. It's been a year and a half of an unbeaten run, but unfortunately for them, it comes to an end.
It's a little bit of a diluted statistic, isn't it, really? Considering the fact that, you know, the 2021 season, we only got about halfway through and we've only played, they've only played 3 games in the league out of...
Yeah. Still, that's a lot of games unbeaten.
It's still a decent record for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So, outstanding work for them. But overall... your thoughts on Bulleye? Are they are you expecting them to be a bit higher now than what you did in preseason, or are they still about on par to where you tipped them? Because they've surprised me pleasantly in the last month or so.
Well, in saying what I've just said about them potentially being up there at the end of the year, I did just see them lose 5-3 to UNSW in the Australia Cup last night. I think they were 5-1 down at half time, but they did bring on a few more senior players in the second half, and you saw a big improvement. Ben McDonald came on at half time and scored a brace, including a penalty after that late miss at the weekend. So, yeah, I think we could still see a little bit of inconsistency from Bulleye, but we've seen where they can be in terms of their performances, and they will be a tricky side for anybody to face this year, I think.
Final game of the round, Albion Park White Eagles getting up 2-1 over Tarawana. I picked it. Stoppage time winner last weekend. I did say it was going to happen, and it did happen through Ethan Cambisios. But, mate, yet another contest between these two that went down to the wire.
It's such a great game to watch, isn't it, Albion Park and Tarawana? You either get tons of goals or late drama. So it's a really great game to watch, isn't it? It's a big result for Albion Park. They're another one that we're expecting to be up there at the end of the season. So for them to get off to a winning run is probably exactly what they wanted, even though they left it very, very late. But yeah, I think that that's a good result for them against a Tarawana side that had been quite positive early on in the year and had been producing some good results.
It's a testament to a side who's going to be challenging for the league towards the end of the year to get results like this, whether it's at the death. So overall, how do you think Abbey Park went? And yeah, who was the standout for them in your eyes?
Well, in all honesty, I'd been there all day and I didn't watch a single second of the game. So it's kind of tricky for me to comment. Yeah, it was time to go home and write my reports up. So yeah, I can't really comment on that. But yeah, what I can say is that I think that Albion Park, that was a result that they sort of needed to get to make sure that they picked up 3 points, and credit to them, considering that they just haven't played any football at all, really, to step into what was a really competitive game and to pick up the points. That's great for them.
And that was Super Saturday, the debrief. Now we'll get into a very quick preview of games this weekend, considering the likelihood of them going ahead is extremely low. We're just going to go through all six games and give you our tips and man of the match picks. First game is meant to be 8 p.m. Friday, Cronulla against Winona, which would have been very interesting, this contest. At this stage, it's still going ahead as we're recording this. Your tip and your man of the match?
Ooh, this is a tricky one, isn't it? It's another interesting game. Cronulla against Port Kembla, was it on the Friday night game last? There was one. It was a really interesting game. Another Friday night game that was really interesting. So we're getting, on Friday night, games with teams that perhaps won't be right up there at the top, but certainly teams that will be looking to engage that top five. For this game here, I'll say the Sharks again. You know, I'm liking the Sharks this year. Yeah, and in terms of a man of the match, I'm going to say Brendan Groom. I think that Cronulla will, if they do play, they will create chances. In attack, they look really, really fluid, and they're getting a number of shots off. So I think Brendan Groom in good form as well. I'd probably say 1-0 Winona with Brendan Groom as my man of the match, I think is what I'll say there.
Yeah, I don't know how to pick Winona games because they come out and surprise you, because Cronulla were tipped to be big improvers this year. I would still say I'd go 2-1 Cronulla just because they had a very good good win over the weekend. I'm out of the match. I'm going to go, Mendez up front. Man of the match, he'll get a goal. 2:30 p.m. Saturday. This would have been a blockbuster. Wollongong United against Bulleye. Tipping man of the match.
Well, I think that Wollongong United, the fact that they haven't, this would only be their second game, and Bulleye coming off that great result against Wollongong Olympic, I think a draw would be the most likely result here. In terms of a man of the match, it's kind of tricky to say. I think I might say Seiya Miyamoto again. I'll go another goalkeeper for my man of the match because I thought
Keepers
he was
Union.
I thought he had a really strong game against Wollongong Olympic, and that was good to see for him. Obviously, he was at Bulambi last year.
Yeah, he's his old club. He was playing second grade there 2 years ago.
Yeah, and he stepped up. He stepped up to Bulleye now, and yeah, he produced a number of important saves. And generally, I thought his distribution was quite good as well, and he was able to allow to give Bulleye a bit of a platform to build from, rather than just having to boot the ball up the field every time and effectively, you know, give up possession. So yeah, I'll say another goalkeeper for my man of the match and a 1-1 draw. Yeah,
this is. I tell you what, you'd hate to have a tipping comp because this would be an interesting. A pretty tough round tip, I think. I'm going to go... Oh, I don't know. I'm really liking Bulleye at the moment, but Wollongong United are just always up there. I'm going to go 2-1 United. Man of the match. Klime Sekulkoski, if he starts, I reckon we'll be man of the match in this one. He'll grab a goal. 2:30 p.m. Saturday, we've got Olympic against Tarawana. Tell you what, Olympic will be looking to bounce back here. Tips and man of the match.
I'd certainly back Wollongong Olympic to bounce back. I think that they'll be disappointed with that result against Bulleye because they'd really been building momentum and they'd been scoring a number of goals as well. They looked like a side that was definitely going to be up there, and I was a little bit surprised at the result and the performance against Bulleye. So I think they'll be very keen to get back to winning ways here against Tarawana, and I'd back them to do so. I reckon it'd probably be, I'll say, 3-0. A 3-0 win for Wollongong Olympic there. And in terms of a man of the match, I'll say Stefan Demoski again. I thought he had a decent game and he gets involved in the play as well as the striker for Wollongong Olympic. And I think, yeah, we could very well see him get on the score sheet here against Tarawana if we play, which I'm pretty sure we won't be.
Yeah, which is why we're going over this quickly. I'll go 3-1 Olympic, man of the match, I will say. You know what? I'll go Demoski as well up front. I reckon he'll get a brace if it goes ahead, which probably won't. 3 p.m. Saturday, we've got Conno against Paul Kembla. Conno desperately need to get 3 points on the board. They're 1 from 6 points available. They really need to get a result here.
Yes, I think that's the point there. The fact that they just haven't won yet this season. And it's another tricky game for them. They haven't had any games where you'd expect them to 100% go and win them. You know, Bulai, as we've seen, have produced some good results. Winuna are another side now that are really tricky to beat. And now Port Kembla, who've had a great start to the season. They're still unbeaten in the league as well. So it's another tricky one for Coniston. I think, though, that they're about due a win. I think the quality that they've got in the team, they'll be expecting to pick up the win here against Port Kembla. Port Kembla defensively as well. You know, they conceded 3 goals against South Coast United, which wasn't good. Coromel side that we're not expecting to be up there this season, they didn't beat as well. So I think Coniston here will get the win. I'm going to say it'll be close, though. A 2-1 Coniston win. And in terms of a man of the match, I'll say Lucas Sergio.
Yeah, I think Connor will... These two did play in pre-season, although that was about 7-8 weeks ago now. Connor did have a few key players out that day, especially in key areas of the park, and they got home 2-0, I think it was, or 2-1. I'm going to say... I think Connor go 3-1 up, and I'm going to go man of the match. Man of the match. Ooh, I'll go man of the match. Matty Floro. I reckon he's due. 3 p.m. Saturday as well. We've got Alien Park against South Coast United. Tips of man of the match for this one. I'll go first this time. I'll mix it up a bit. I'm going to go 4-1 Alien Park. Man of the match. I reckon Morgo bags a hat trick in this one. He did in the fixture last year or the year before, I'm pretty sure. So I'll go 4-1 Albion Park, Morgo hat-trick, man of the match.
I think you've got to go with Cameron Morgan as the man of the match, considering the goals that South Coast United are shipping at the moment. And then you've got Cameron Morgan, who is probably one of the best goal scorers in the division. I think that that's just something that is inevitable, him getting on the score sheet. And yeah, I'll say Albion Park to go and win this game. Great win for them, especially considering the fact they haven't played. So I think Albion Park here will pick up the win. I think only 2-0, though, and I think Cameron Morgan will get both the goals. So, yeah, that'll be my tip.
Yeah, I just thought 4 was the magic number at the moment. 2:30 p.m. Sunday, we've got Coromel against Bulambi. A Memorial Drive derby here. I'm going to go 2-1 Coromel. Man of the match. Oh, I'll back Jai Mellor in this one.
Yeah, this is an important game actually for both teams, especially for Coromel to see, you know, because Bulambi is, we kind of expect to be towards the bottom end of the table here. It's for Coromel, this is an important game. If they go and win this, they get that bit of separation from the bottom of the league. So this is an important game for the Rangers for sure, but also if Bulambi were to pick up a win here, it'd be massive for them too. So I think Coromel will have enough to get the win here. I'll say 1-0 Coromel, and I'll say Mecco Tripodi to get on the score sheet.
Nice. You like the Mecco Tripodi? You're on the Mecco Tripodi train, are you?
Scored a penalty against Port Kembla. Could be on for another penalty. Who knows?
Heck, outstanding work. All right, well, that is the Super Saturday debrief and the most brief round 7 preview you'll get, considering the likely order of games going ahead this weekend. But, Tim, as always... Coming in last minute and filling in over Zoom as well, because we don't know where the game's going ahead. So once again, thanks for coming on, and appreciate your thoughts as always.
No, thank you for having me on. It was interesting to discuss the Super Saturday games, and it should be very, very interesting this weekend to see how the District League teams go, who have played probably even less football than the Premier League teams.
Yeah, get down to some games if you can this weekend. Be sure to support the Fraternity Club and every season, my season. And we'll catch you guys next week, hopefully. Touch wood.